You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everybody, welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Setter, joined by Stephen Reed of Stampede Blues. We're here again on a Thursday night to go over part three of our positional preview series here, and it's going to be the playmakers at wide receiver and tight end. Combine them both together here tonight for you. In our next episode, we'll be going over the trenches and the offensive line and defensive line, but tonight, playmakers, wide receivers, and tight ends, they all go under the microscope here for expectations heading into 2021, any potential positional battles, if there is any at all. But, Stephen, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Evan, I'm doing well tonight. How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. I'm doing pretty well. It's crazy to say, Stephen, today's July 1st. We're only about 3 weeks away from training camp. Like, it's kind of come up here fast on us.
Yeah, this is the last month until, I think, March, where there isn't a football game that is played. So to get into August, you start getting preseason games, and then it's just you're rolling from there. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for Colts football to get here. I know everyone out there listening is feeling the same way. We're only about 6 weeks away from the preseason opener against the Carolina Panthers and then about 10 weeks away from the season opener, which is going to be at home against the Seattle Seahawks. But Steve, we're going to dive into first wide receivers, then go over tight ends. And we were remiss not to start off here with the Colts' number one wide receiver, at least who we believe is going to be number one wide receiver this year. Some young guys could overtake him midseason or maybe before that. But T.Y. Hilton, he's had a pretty disappointing last few years for the Colts. I mean, it's fair to say he's gone off. His age has kind of caught up with him a little bit in some moments. He did have a strong couple-week stretch there late in the season. But it's kind of shown to me, I mean, what's your thoughts on T.Y. Hilton entering this year? He hasn't really been the same since 2018 with Andrew Luck. Struggled mightily with Jacoby Brissett because Jacoby couldn't throw the ball downfield. Same Philip Rivers this year with his arm strength. What's your thoughts on T.Y. Hilton entering into 2021 with Carson Wentz as quarterback, where the deep ball should return, but T.Y. is also about 2 or 3 years older now?
Yeah, I think T.Y. Hilton will be a reliable receiving option. And will be I don't know if he'll be the deep threat that he used to be, but he's such a savvy route runner that he'll be able to make plays when they ask him to. I think the big concern you have with T.Y. is that he hasn't played a full 16 games since 2017. He missed two games in 2018, pushed six games in 2019, missed a game in 2020. And I think he started to come on later in the season. But still, over the course of the season last year, he had 93 targets and 56 receptions. He was the second receiver in terms of receptions for the Colts. And when you first started talking about the Colts' number one wide receiver last year, I assumed you were talking about Nyheim Hines because he had the most receptions. T.Y. Hilton, I expect him to settle into more of a wide receiver two role in this offense, and I think that he can be great at that if they start to pull coverage, because I expect Michael Pittman Jr. to, who I'm sure we'll talk about very soon, I expect him to be the wide receiver one just based on the type of wide receiver that Carson Wentz really likes to throw to and the type of receiver that he's had success with in the past.
Yeah, speaking of Pittman, we're going to dive into him in just a moment, but yeah, I think we've kind of previewed this all offseason so far, the way that Pittman closed the season. Paris Campbell, the Colts are very high on entering into this year. If he's fully healthy, he's going to change the whole dynamic to this offense with his 4.31 speed at 6 foot. But this feels like 2021 is finally the year. We saw it in 2013 or 2014, I believe, with Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton a couple of years after he was drafted. T.Y. took that baton away from Reggie Wayne. I think we're going to be seeing the same thing here in 2021, where whether it be Pittman, whether it be Campbell, I think this is probably the year where T.Y. does pass that baton to someone else.
Yeah, and I think that T.Y. probably understands that too. I don't think that that's lost on him, because it just seems like that's going to be the most likely scenario for him at this point in his career. And you hope that T.Y.'s got, you know, another 2-3 good years left. But history in terms of the wide receiver position hasn't shown that to be the case. Normally, right about T.Y.'s age, they start to fall off, and it's usually a pretty precipitous drop for them. So the hope is that he's got at least another good year left in Indianapolis. So then if he does end up leaving in free agency next year, that he'll leave on a high note and still be beloved by fans, and they'll still make songs about bringing T.Y. home. Even though I think that this is probably going to be his last year, and this is going to be that baton passing year here in Indianapolis.
I totally agree with you there. And I do wonder if T.Y. will move on. He was very close, as we talked about throughout the offseason, and he's even mentioned on the Pat McAfee show, where he was very close to sign the Baltimore Ravens on a 3-year deal before he signed back with the Indianapolis Colts on a 1-year, $10 million deal with some incentives thrown in as well. The last couple of years, Steven, T.Y.'s had 45 receptions in 2019, 56 receptions in 2020. Do you expect that number to bump back up to how it used to be in like the 2018, 2016 kind of T.Y., where it's around 75 to 80 catches? Or do you think it's probably going to be around the same, like 45 to 60 catches for T.Y. in 2021?
I think you're more likely going to see the 45 to 60 catches, quite honestly. I don't think that he's going to make a huge jump in stats. If you look at the past 3 years, even 2017, he had, with that 2017 year, he had 57 receptions. And then he had 76 in 2018, and then 45 and 56. So I think the majority of T.Y.'s years, he's been in that 40 to 60 range in terms of receptions. So I think that's a pretty safe bet at this point in his career. And I think that's a really good spot for T.Y. To be in, because I think that that's a realistic expectation for him, is to be looking at like that. I honestly think it's probably going to be like 50 to 65 catches, somewhere right around there, because I think they're going to start, like I said, pull coverage over to Michael Pittman Jr., and T.Y. is going to get an opportunity to get more one-on-one matchups. But I do think that you're probably looking at right about that lower range, is that 40 to 60, 50 to 65 range for receptions this year. And I think that would be a really solid year for T.Y.
Let's go to MPJ now, Steven, who had 40 catches for 503 yards last year and a single touchdown. But in the final portion of the 2020 season, he really started to come on, especially in the playoff wildcard game, 5 catches for 90 yards on 10 targets. I think he led the Colts in targets as well over the final 4 to 6 weeks of the season. It's very fair to say that he might be taking that baton from T.Y. Hilton in 2021. And Frank Reich was on the Chris Collinsworth podcast a month or two ago talking about the Carson Wentz trade. They brought up MPJ, and man, he gushed about Michael Pittman Jr., just about the way he carries himself, the way he runs routes, how special he is as a guy his size that has great feet like him. It seems like the Colts really have a lot of big plans for Michael Pittman Jr. this year and beyond, where with how high Frank Reich is on him, if a play caller loves you that much, you're going to be fed the ball a lot. Carson Wentz loves big body wide receivers as well. I've been on record saying this. I'm going to keep hammering this point. Like, one of my bold predictions this year is Michael Pittman Jr. getting 100 plus targets this year. And especially with the 17th game, especially with the way Carson Wentz loves those big bodies, I think it's probably going to happen, Steven.
Yeah. If you look at how he played last year, like, and the way he played down the stretch, he had 61 targets, 40 receptions last year for 500 yards. And then in the playoff game, he had 10 targets for 5 receptions and 90 yards. And you could tell as the season progressed how much more comfortable he felt in the offensive system. And like I mentioned earlier, when you think about Carson Wentz and the types of receivers that he likes to throw to, that he likes to throw to those bigger guys that are a little bit faster, that can get down the field and are kind of that deceptively fast player right there. And that's Michael Pittman Jr. You get him the ball and he's able to make a play, make a move, and he's deceptively fast, and he's going to be able to break out and potentially get that touchdown. When you have Frank Reich added in, that he really likes to push Michael Pittman Jr. And same thing, we'll talk about Paris Campbell here in a minute, but they keep talking up Michael Pittman Jr. and Paris Campbell and how excited they are for them in this offense. And you can't help but think that that's where the lion's share of the targets are going to go this year if both can stay healthy.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You want to track all the action over Bet Online.
Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and our UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline, your laptop or mobile device, and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Is this your chance to get into the game as teams prepare for their runs to the playoffs? Head to the website or use your mobile device right now to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's 50% off on your first deposit of BetOnline using the promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON. Bet online. Your online sportsbook experts.
In 2017, during the 1 year Carson Wentz should have won MVP before he tore his ACL and Frank Reich was the play caller. Alshon Jeffrey is a very similar body type to Michael Pittman. 6'3", 220. Pittman 6'4", 225. In that 2017 season for the Eagles, Jeffrey had 120 targets for 800 yards and 9 touchdowns. I could see easily something somewhere along those lines for MPJ.
Yeah, that's right about where I would probably put him. I think that you're looking at between 75 and 100 receptions, probably looking at 110, 120 targets. And I think that's probably a realistic number based on the offense and based on the type of receivers that Carson Wentz likes to throw to. And, you know, like the receivers that, as you've seen Chris Ballard draft them, the receivers that Frank Reich likes in this offense, you know, with Michael Pittman Jr., with Desmond Patton, with Michael Strawn, you see a pretty clear idea of the type of receiver that they want to bring in. And Michael Pittman Jr. is probably the most talented of that group. And I see him getting a ton of targets this year, probably also getting a ton of receptions.
Let's go to Paris Campbell now, Steven, who unfortunately has had the injury bug bite him in all the wrong ways in his first 2 years. Before we dive into his expectations for 2021, I want to throw out the point that I don't think Campbell is injury prone. Like some of these injuries he's had, like with Harrison Smith hitting him in the knee with his helmet, and then also him breaking his foot in the Buccaneers game. Like some of these injuries are just freak accidents for Campbell. Maybe he's a little injury prone, but I don't buy the label for Campbell that he's injury prone just yet. If he does get injured again this year, Steven, that's where I'm going to be really worried.
Yeah, he's had a couple just kind of freak injuries. Like, you know, for example, like breaking that when he broke his hand and it was like high-fiving up somebody in the crowd after he had a big catch. The Harrison Smith one, or I forget the name, whoever took out his knee. Like, they're just kind of freak injuries that happen in football. Now, if it's the same injury over and over again, or like he continues to have like joint issues, then okay, yeah, you can probably apply that injury prone tag to him. But as of right now, I wouldn't apply it. This year is going to be huge for him though, because it's his now going to be his third year in this offense. They're really, really high on him and expect big, big things out of him. And when he played, last year, he averaged, you know, over 10 yards. He played like what, one game and then got injured, but he had 9 targets and 6 receptions. They clearly wanted to use him a lot. Now, the one caveat I'd put with Paris Campbell is he's more of a slot guy and likes to run a lot of drags and crossers. And that's the type of throw that Carson Wentz doesn't like to make. And so that would be my main caveat on Paris Campbell. And then similarly on Nyheim Hines, is Carson Wentz doesn't like to make those short throws. He likes to kind of extend plays and get those bigger plays. Now, if they move Paris Campbell outside, and he's got the ability to be an outside wide receiver, and I don't think that that's he's got the route running ability. He's got everything that you really need to work outside, and they move T.Y. Hilton in the slot. I think you could, with his 4.3 speed, he could really, really be kind of more like that DeSean Jackson style receiver that Philadelphia had, which is that deep ball speed. And once you get the ball in his hands, who knows, you've got a chance to score a touchdown. And you never know where it's going to end up, but you got a chance. And so I think that might be an option that they use Paris Campbell in this year. But he's certainly going to have every opportunity. And I think you're probably going to see him in that probably 40 to 60 reception range as well, which I think is a good number for him. If you extrapolate out what he did last year in that one game, he had 6 receptions on 9 targets. So you're probably looking over a 17-game season, you're, what, 78? There's 78 catches right around there. So I think it's probably going to be a little bit lower than that. But if they use him the way that they used him to start the season last year, he could be a sleeper PPR candidate because he's going to get a lot. He's going to get fed the ball a lot if they continue to use him like they did when Phillip Rivers was the quarterback. Now, again, Carson Wentz doesn't like to make those throws, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting to me with Campbell because he's going to be such a mismatch weapon when he's on the field, where at 4-3 in the slot, we saw it in week one, like you mentioned, Steven, Jacksonville had no shot of staying with Paris Campbell in the slot. They tried to put a safety in there, didn't work, a corner didn't work. Obviously, it was the Jaguars who finished 1-15 that year. But I think the same could be said around most of the NFL, why Campbell's going to be such a mismatch in that area. But when Marcus Brady said during OTAs that Campbell is more so viewed as one of their deep threats now, that did catch my eye a little bit. And I think DeSean Jackson, like you mentioned, Steve, it's a good comparison for that because, man, if Paris Campbell can be a guy you can spread out wide or even in the slot, have him stretch the field down the seam, that's going to be such a weapon for Carson Wentz to really have some explosive plays in this offense where the Colts have had – really, it's been a very long time, probably in the last decade or so, where the Colts have not had a game breaker down the seam since, like, Dallas Clark at the tight end position. But Paris Campbell is a 4-3 wide receiver.
Yeah, and I think that's important. When that's why I think it's when you put him in the slot, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to attack the seam. And when you think about it, they're probably going to use a guy that we're going to talk about later in Kylan Granson. And they're going to use him on the opposite side. So you can really just go at the seam and make that safety make a choice and not know which one's going to go where and feel pretty confident that you're going to occupy him for long enough that Carson Wentz, he's got the accuracy, he's got the strength and the arm talent to really make that throw in there and sneak it in if he has to. But I think that this offense, it's going to start attacking that seam vertically. More so than what they did with Phillip Rivers, just because you've got a quarterback that's got a much bigger arm with Carson Wentz.
It's going to be so fun to watch Paris Campbell this year. If you had to guess, Steven, between who leads the Colts in yardage, I think it's an interesting one because I think Campbell could maybe have a bigger yards per reception just because of those chunk plays in the seam. But I think both these guys could be neck and neck as far as catches and receptions go, where it's crazy to say about this time a year ago, but I could really honestly see Pittman and Campbell in terms of stats being WR1 and WR2 for the Colts this year, while T.Y. takes more of a backseat.
Yeah, that's honestly where I'd probably put it. If you're looking at receptions and yardage, I think you're probably going to have Pittman be the wide receiver one. If you're looking at yards per reception, I think you're probably going to see that either be Campbell or Hilton there. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. But I think this is a good debate for the Colts to have because they really do have a couple of really solid options, at least, you know, three pretty solid options there at the wide receiver position without even adding in Zach Pascal or Desmond Patman or Michael Strawn or whoever, Ashton Doolin. They've got a lot of Michael Harris. Gosh, I could keep going on. And being able to put those guys in and feel confident that they're going to be able to make a play. I think that this wide receiver group with Michael Pittman, I think, is probably going to start taking the lead. And so I think he's probably going to be the leader in receptions and targets and also yards.
How much of a luxury is it, Steven, for this Colts team to have Zach Pascal as their WR4, who over the last two or three years has proven himself to be a capable WR2, probably on some rosters in the NFL? This is the final year of his contract. He did sign his restricted free agent tender this past offseason. It's going to be a very interesting year for Pascal because the Colts play him a lot as a WR4. I mean, hopefully there's no injuries this year for the Colts at wide receiver, but I would not be surprised at all still, Steven, if Pascal saw like 50% of the snaps because he's such an elite run blocker. He's such a reliable route runner and great hands as well. He's earned the full trust of his coaching staff where I could easily see some games where it's Pascal and Pittman on the outside with Campbell and Hilton sharing in the slot.
Yeah, and Pascal has carved out a role in this offense to where he's a guy that likes to do the dirty work and makes those blocks. And you don't realize that he had 44 receptions last year for 630 yards. He was right behind T.Y. In terms of receptions and yards. T.Y. was at 56 for 762, and Pascal was at 44 for 629. And that was on 22 fewer targets for Pascal. So I think that he's a really solid option to have as your wide receiver three, wide receiver four. I don't know how comfortable I would feel with him being your wide receiver two long-term for a full season, but he's shown that he can step in and make those plays when he needs to, which is great for the team because injuries happen and you need to have guys that are capable and competent to be able to come in and step in and feel like you're not going to have such a significant or a steep drop-off.
Let's last thing here on the wideout, Stephen, before we dive over to tight ends for a few minutes, closing out the show. What's your thoughts on the guys behind the top four? They're all locked in with Hilton, Campbell, Pittman, and Pascal. I really believe Desmond Patman, Ashton Doolin, Mike Strawn, probably I'd say Patman's pretty much locked in with the way that they kept him on the open 53-man roster last year and didn't put him on the practice squad. But having Patman behind them and then Doolin and Strawn battling that, what's your thoughts on those three guys heading into 2021?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do in training camp because that's going to be the big takeaway. We know Ashton Doolin has a role to play on special teams. And if Desmond Patman can step in and be able to take over for the special teams, I think he's going to be able to push Doolin off the roster. Michael Strawn, I think, might be a really similar prospect to what Desmond Patman was last year. So I don't know how comfortable they're going to feel putting him on waivers. So they might be forced to keep him. And if they keep six, I would probably think Ashton Doolin's the one that doesn't make it out of that group. That's kind of an iffy thing there because he has been such a strong special teams player that I have a hard time thinking they're going to let him go too. But I just have this feeling that they really like Michael Strawn, and it seems like from all accounts that we hear from the Colts, he's the guy that pretty consistently gets talked up. So I'll be interested to see how training camp goes because that's obviously going to be the big barometer on who's where and able to do what. And if either of those guys slips, you've already got your fifth and sixth. I think they're going to keep six wide receivers this year, to be totally honest. And so we'll see who they end up going, but it's a good problem to have versus, what we had with Ryan Grigson as the general manager. We didn't know who they were going to keep at the back end because we just didn't know if they were any good. Now we've got talent. Now the Colts have talent and they're able to, pick a guy that's really talented and let a guy walk that will more likely than not get claimed by another team.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Available this week only, you're going to want to check out Built Bar's Grasshopper Cookie, which is so good. I've actually had the chance to try it and it is so, so good. It might honestly be their best flavor yet. So it only has 150 calories, only 17 grams of protein with 5 grams of sugar. It really is tasting like a cookie that is super, super sweet too. Like it tastes nothing like a protein bar. Built Bar has this whole recipe covered right now. They have so many great flavors as well. The 9 original flavors, including ones like mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, and strawberry, as well as so many more. Order today and get the Grasshopper Cookie or Raspberry or whatever you like of Built Bars. And go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 50% off your first order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Isn't that neat? This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need, so why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry at the time? You have computers and access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save so much time and money while using Rock Auto as well. You can spend so much more at a different auto part chain, but you can get it so much cheaper at Rock Auto. The price is always reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now to see the parts to go for your car or truck, right locked on, in the How'd Your Boss box, so know that we sent you over there. They have a main selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Colts fans, go to rockauto.com and write locked on, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, in the How'd Your Boss box, so know that we sent you over there for some great deals.
Let's go to tight end now, Steven. This will be a quick one since there's only three guys here, and I expect the Colts to only carry three tight ends this year. But let's start off with the presumed starter, tight end one, even though he might not produce the best in the box score this past year, only 23 catches for 250 yards and three touchdowns. But he's the ever-reliable Jack Doyle, who's a very good blocking tight end. Took a really big step back last year in terms of targets and receptions. Had 72 targets in 2019, only 33 in 2020. We heard some rumblings early on in the offseason, Stephen, from Stephen Holder of The Athletic and Zach Kiefer on their 1% Better podcast, where, according to Holder, he's heard some rumblings that this could be Jack Doyle's final season before he retires. Doyle is entering his age 31 season, his ninth season in the NFL. He has been banged up a little bit in the past. He does have a young family as well. And they do have two young guys behind them, Malik Cox and Kylan Granson. Those two guys need to be set up long-term as the duo for the Colts at tight end. It would not surprise me, Stephen, if this is the last year for Jack Doyle. What's your thoughts on Doyle heading into 2021 and what his role could be? Because it's a really interesting one, but what it really could be.
I think you're going to see him kind of take a step back in the offense even more than what he did last year. And it was a pretty significant step back from 2019 to 2020, especially given how much Phillip Rivers likes to use tight ends. So that was a little bit surprising, I guess. I think Mo Alie-Cox is going to be the one that takes a step forward and really kind of takes over that tight end one role from Jack Doyle. I've said before that I think this could be Jack Doyle's last year with the Colts. If you look at the contract situation, arguably he's got the worst contract for the Colts, and it's not even like a bad contract, which just goes to show you how good Chris Ballard and the rest of the guys in the front office have been able to negotiate contracts to be able to put guys in the right situation and put themselves in the right situation in terms of the cap. So I think Jack Doyle is probably going to take a step back again. And I honestly think this is probably going to be his last year in Indianapolis, whether he retires or is released. I think that this is probably going to be the last one for Jack.
Yeah. Speaking of Doyle's contract, I just looked it up here on Over the Cap. If he was going to be cut during this offseason, would have been $3.3 million in dead cap, only $2.5 million in cap savings. Next year, though, next offseason, his cap number is $6.2 million. The dead money on that, though, Steven, is $750,000. So I can easily see the Colts doing that, saves him almost $6 million in cap space. If Doyle retires, it'd be the same thing there. So I think that does make a lot of sense. And if Doyle does indeed retire after this year, what a run it's been. But I'm right there with you. I think the roles for Molly Cox and even Kylan Granson in 2021 are going to surpass Jack Doyle, who is a great blocking tight end, probably still be used in the running downs, but I don't know, it's more so about passing downs in 2021. But let's move on to Malik Cox, who had a really good year for the Colts in 2020. Unfortunately to me, Steven, I don't know why, but later on in the year, the Colts kind of went away from Malik Cox for kind of no reason to me. He had 31 catches for 39 targets for 31 catches, so almost an 80% catch percentage, which is incredible for a guy his size. 13 yards per reception and two touchdowns. He had two touchdowns in the first month of the season, Steven, and he was pretty much a focal point of their offense throughout September and October. But then the last few months of the season, he's kind of phased out a little bit. If Cox can maintain that role that we saw in the first 2 months of the season, he could be a guy that gets you like 50 catches for 600 yards this year.
Yeah, and he's going to have a lot of opportunities because he's going to be in pretty much on every down. He's going to be that three-down tight end because he's a solid blocker. And then if they give him an opportunity, he's shown in the past he's very good catching passes. So he's going to get every opportunity to play pretty consistently. He's going to be a three-down tight end, which is what you want from him. So I'm excited for Mo Alie-Cox to really kind of step up and step into that role. Again, this is like his fourth or fifth year playing football. So his transition's been slow, but I think it's been at a really good pace considering the NFL offenses and the complexities of it, and then coming from the college basketball game, being able to come in and play a tight end. It's kind of a perfect situation for him. And Carson Wentz really likes to use tight ends. So he's going to get every opportunity to put out. I think that in terms of tight ends, your snap percentage wise is probably going to be Mo Alie-Cox at the top.
what's incredible to me, Steven, is going back on Cox here before we dive into Kylan Granson, who will be the last name mentioned on the show, a tight end. But looking at Molly Cox's development when they first got him in 2017 and where he's been over the years, very raw, a center at VCU playing basketball, starting in March Madness, and in 2017 really playing football for the first time ever. So over the last couple of years, he's been, like you mentioned, slow playing his development, getting more of an increased role every single year. But having him learn from Jack Doyle, I mean, Molly Cox is a carbon copy of Jack Doyle to me. I mean, he's reliable hands, a beast in the running game. He's not so great at yards after catch because he's more of just like a brute strength guy than a speed guy at like 6'6", 260. But he is very similar to me as to Jack Doyle as far as play type goes. And I think the Colts have molded Molly Cox so well to where he really is truly their Jack Doyle of the future.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think that's pretty spot on. Molly Cox is a bigger, faster, stronger version of Jack Doyle, and younger and cheaper. And so for the Colts, that's kind of exactly what you want. Molly Cox is 27, 28 years old. Jack Doyle's 31, I think now. And so you've got Molly Cox for another 4 years, similar to what you did with Jack Doyle. You extend him out and let him play out his contract and see what happens. But, you know, I think Molly Cox is perfectly set up and he's been perfectly groomed to take over for Jack Doyle, more so this year than any other year.
Kylan Granson, the Colts' fourth-round pick out of SMU at tight end. That's the highest draft pick the Colts have had at tight end since Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener in 2012. I'm kind of excited. The more I think about how the Colts are going to be using their offense this year, more of an explosive vertical element, I think Kylan Granson, Steven, is going to surprise a lot of people with how he has very reliable hands. He's a really good separator for his position as well in terms of yards after catch, very aggressive in terms of breaking tackles as well. I think he's in for a role where it wouldn't shock me at all, Steven, if Kylan Granson does lead the Colts tight end room in receptions and in yards this year, because he's a mismatch nightmare. He's Trey Burton souped up to an even more athletic version, and even I think he's a better blocker from what I've seen on tape than what Trey Burton has shown throughout his career. So I could really see if Kylan Granson earns the trust of the coaching staff in September, I could see Granson really playing a big role later on in the season.
Yeah, honestly, I think that you're spot on. I think Granson's going to be the guy that leads the tight ends in receptions and yards. And I wouldn't put him as his comparison to be Trey Burton. I would put it more towards Dallas Clark with the way that he plays. He's a able blocker when he wants to be. He's like a better version of Trey Burton. And I think they're going to use him in a similar role to how they used Dallas Clark back in the Peyton Manning case. So I think Kylan Granson is going to have every opportunity to show out here this year. And he's going to get tons of targets, tons of receptions, tons of yards. If he can stay healthy and he absorbs the playbook, he's going to get, like I said, every opportunity to really put on a show here in Indianapolis.
Let's close out the show here, Steven. Just looking over what we've spoken about over the last 30 or so minutes with the wide receivers and the tight ends, a lot of potential, a lot of young guys, T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle are the veterans of this room. But to me, Steven, if all works out with Carson Wentz and with the ways that Marcus Brady, the Colts' new offensive coordinator, wants to implement more vertical concepts with Frank Reich, I think this room is actually really good at wide receiver and at tight end, where if Pittman and Campbell break out, if Kylan Granson breaks out, if Molly Cox takes another step forward, you're betting on a lot of young guys here that are a little unproven so far. But if those young guys take steps like Colts expect them to, this is going to be a very fun playmaking group.
Yeah, I think that they're really underrated by a lot of national pundits, which isn't super surprising given it's the Indianapolis market. And outside of when they had Peyton Manning and then three Hall of Famers around him, including Reggie Wayne in that group, we didn't get a lot of publicity and everything like that outside of that, even though, with Andrew Luck, you got a little bit here or there, but it wasn't the same. Now, again, the Colts have a quarterback that is rejuvenated and is excited about his opportunity. Feels like he's refreshed his football life here in Indianapolis, and he's only been here for, 4 months? And then you've got a wide receiver room that is, I think, being really overlooked, partially because of the quarterback. because a lot of people don't have a lot of faith in Carson Wentz. And if Carson Wentz plays well and is even close to like the 2018, 2019 version of Carson Wentz, then the Colts wide receivers are going to be in for a big year. And I include also Kylan Granson in that, Mo'Ali Cox in that as well, is they're going to have every opportunity to really kind of put on a show and show everybody that they shouldn't be overlooked. And I firmly believe that the Colts will have a top seven, top 10 offense in 2021.
Steven, this is a lot of fun tonight going over the wide receivers and tight ends, a very underrated and intriguing group that we just went over for the last 30 or so minutes. Colts fans, if you're not already, go ahead and follow Steven on Twitter at NiceReadSteve and go read and listen to his work, as always, over on Stampede Blue. Steven, appreciate the time tonight, man.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.